Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. We're so excited. I tell you what, church, the Lord is moving in our lives and in this place, and we're grateful and thankful that we have the privilege to be a part of it and to see Jesus' work. We raise a hallelujah because our Jesus is alive, and he changes lives and he transforms us, and we're grateful and thankful that we can experience that and we can worship him today. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all here, sitting here today, because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. I want to ask you a question today. Who has been generous to you, humanly speaking? Because this book of the Bible, the book of Philippians, is about joy. And one of the things that Paul is happy about is that the believers in Philippi have sent him a gift. I want you to think about that. Who has been generous to you, humanly speaking? I tell you, it brings a smile to your face when you realize the generosity of people in your life. Well, Paul is thanking the Philippians for being generous to him. I think about people, humanly speaking. I've got a lot of people that have been generous to me. A lot in my family. My mother, who was a single parent, sacrificed a whole lot in order to help me. I remember being a teenager. Think about these young people right here. I remember being a teenager one time, and we were out. Our group was going to go out to lunch. We had saved our money, and there was a special place to eat lunch at the bottom of the Gulf Life Tower in Jacksonville, Florida, a big Gulf Life building on the south bank of the St. John's River. And it was kind of a place that you know, you wouldn't see a bunch of young people, but we had decided, let's save our money, and after church, let's go there to eat. Well, we went in there, and there was a businessman in our church. He happened to be the director of our high school department. His name was Jack Cummings. His son came to North Central when he was a college student at UF, and I actually took his place in that apartment that they had when Jeff graduated. I moved into that apartment. But anyway, Jeff's dad was our high school director, and he was in that place eating. And I have never forgotten this. He came over to our table, and he greeted us. He said, "Guys, I'm glad to see y'all here. It was good to see you in Sunday school, good to see you in church." And when we all went up to pay our bill, Mr. Cummings had paid our bill for us. I have never forgotten that, because that was a lot. It was a lot of money to us. We had saved our nickels and dimes, and you know, back then you turned in Coke bottles and got deposits. Man, we'd done everything we could do to have the money to go to that place, and Mr. Cummings did that. When I was a student at UF, there was another one of our youth leaders that was an attorney. And he used to come down to Gainesville, and whenever he'd come to Gainesville, he'd call all of us First Baptist students that were students down here. He'd say, "Hey, y'all, can y'all get together?" And whenever he called, we always said we could, because he took us to a place here in Gainesville called Art Steakhouse. Do y'all, anybody remember Art Steakhouse? He would take all of us students to Art Steakhouse, and man, he'd buy us the biggest steak we wanted. And I just remember little things about generosity. Well, can I tell you this? The Apostle Paul is thanking the Philippians here. He's thanking them because of their giving. Now, today, we're talking about joy in giving. Now, we've looked at all these different things to have joy about. Joy in the church, joy in circumstances, joy in life, joy in death. Unity as the key to joy. Joy with Christ as our example. Joy in obedience. Joy in faithful friends. Joy in saving grace. Joy in the process of growth. Joy for the future. Joy in the midst of worry. And then last week we looked at joy and contentment. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at a Bible study today, a passage of Scripture, just a few verses of Scripture that really help us in our generosity. They help us in our giving. If someone said to me, Pastor, would you give me one thing, tell me one thing about giving that I need to do? Here's what I would tell you. I would tell you to begin tithing. Now, tithing is a tenth of your income. Generosity brings blessing. We're going to talk about that today. Proverbs 11:24 says this, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Now, some people say, well, you know, that tithing thing is an Old Testament thing. We're not here. I don't want to make this is not a big message about necessarily tithing, but I do want to just give you a little bit of background about it. Somebody says, well, tithing is really in the law and it's not in the New Testament. Well, do you know that tithing began before the law? Abraham gave a tithe to the priest Melchizedek. And it's talked about in Genesis, I think the 14th chapter, and then it's talked about again in the book of Hebrews. So tithing really happened before the law. And then it was a part of the Old Testament instructions, and then Jesus validated the tithe as well in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. But it's really the starting place for the New Testament believer. The place to give your tithes is to your local church, and then you give offerings over and above the tithe to all sorts of ministries. The Scripture says in the Old Testament, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And then it gives you a promise there. It says, and if I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And so it says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. The best we know, the best we understand, the equivalent of that Old Testament storehouse is the New Testament church. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. That root word, store, is the same word that was used in the Old Testament for the storehouse. So we are to give in that way. Now, if you said, Pastor, what else could I be involved in? I would say give over and above the tithe to offerings. That's exactly what we did when we had our unhindered giving campaign. You folks, our church family, gave about $1.4 million. You hear that? In addition to our regular tithes. Now that is giving an offering over and above the tithe. I know that these believers in Philippi, they gave to their own church, but they also gave this gift to the Apostle Paul. And so Paul is thanking them for that. So I want to read our text today. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 and following to verse 20. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. Paul wanted to make sure. Remember, he had just said he's content. He's learned to be content. We just had that last week as we studied in the text prior to this one. He says, Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. In other words, the blessing you'll get by giving. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus, that's the guy that brought the gift, the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, a great verse of Scripture. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a promise. Verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want us to look at some lessons here that we can think about in having joy in giving. Sometimes we think about giving, we don't get so joyful, you know. But let's get joyful about it. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And can I tell you this, be as transparent as I know to tell you, as a pastor, I have seen this issue be the turning point in a person's spiritual growth. Honestly, a person that is unwilling to give will not receive these abounding blessings that God has. And we're going to talk about what those mean. It doesn't always mean money, but it means other blessings as well. But the truth is, the stingy person who is not being a steward of all the things that the Lord has given them, their time, their talents, their treasure, will not receive the blessing of the Lord. So he's saying, look, I'm joyful about the gift that you sent. And here's what he says. Number one, and if you have your listening guide in your bulletin, in your listening guide, number one, giving, we see the lesson of giving because of fellowship. In verse 14, he says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. That word shared is the word koinonia. Now, we've talked a lot about that word koinonia. It means fellowship. He says, nevertheless, he starts that verse out with the word nevertheless. In other words, he's saying, in spite of my contentment and humility, I am rejoicing because you shared in my ministry. Koinonia, giving because of fellowship. The word koinonia is the same word we use for fellowship. And here's a definition. It means this: a deep partnership of two going in the same direction. Evidently, the Philippian believers believed in what Paul was doing. Paul was planting churches. Paul was going, taking the gospel all over the world. And so the believers in Philippi believed in what Paul was doing. And so because of that, they gave. Can I tell you this? You say, well, what am I supposed to give to? Well, I hope and pray, if this is your church, now you may be our guest, but if this is your church, that you believe in what we're doing. And so as a result, that's part of the reason, because we're in fellowship, we're going in the same direction, you give in that way. You give offerings over and above the tithe to missionaries and others, to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, to other missionaries that are going on into the field, and you give because you're going in the same direction. You're in fellowship with what they're doing. You're a partner. And so part of the foundation of giving comes because of fellowship. Right now, a lot of our college students are raising funds in order to go on the mission field this summer. I think we probably have 35 maybe from our church that are doing that. They're raising funds. And so as God blesses you, you can give an offering to help them. Why? Because they're in our church. We believe in what they're doing. We're in fellowship together. We're partnering together. And therefore, because of fellowship, fellowship impacts giving. Look what he says there in verse 14. He says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. That you have done well, it's another way of saying this. You did a beautiful thing. Can I tell you this, church family, when you gave to our Above and Beyond campaign that helped us get out of that indebtedness, you did a beautiful thing. Paul's saying that to those people. When you give to one of these young people going off on a mission trip, we've got a trip going with some other adults to Toronto. Some of them may need some help. There are those that need help. When you give to them, you are doing a beautiful thing. When you sacrifice for your church or help others in the gospel ministry, you are doing a wonderful thing. So I want to encourage you to realize that the main foundation of that is because of fellowship, partnership. The word partner says the fellowship, koinonia, is two people going in the same direction. Now, the second thing, number two, giving goes with receiving. One of the reasons that Philippi was giving to Paul was because they had received from Paul. Paul, boy, he had a tough time in Philippi. If you want to go back and read about it, you can study this later, but you go back to Acts, the 16th chapter. Remember, Paul was serving, and he heard a call, a vision of a man saying, come to Macedonia and help us. And it says there in verse 15, he says, now you Philippians know that in the beginning, well, in the beginning of Paul's ministry, it was not easy. He heard that vision. He went over to Macedonia, and he began to plant churches and preach the gospel over there. But he suffered physically in Philippi. Paul went to the river. When you went to a Gentile town that did not have a synagogue, you remember in the book of Acts, Paul, when he'd go to a new town, he would go to the synagogue. Well, if there was not a synagogue, the tradition was that the Jews that were there would gather by the river, and it says that in the book of Acts, that he went to the river, and there he met Lydia. Remember, a seller of purple, and he met Lydia. Well, there was a slave girl who kept on crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. She kept saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. This was in Philippi when Paul first went there. Well, the Bible says Paul got annoyed. I mean, I love the Bible. It just tells you. You know, Paul, he wasn't perfect. And it's not wrong to get annoyed. He got annoyed. And finally, he said to the slave girl, in the name of Jesus Christ, he called out the demon. He said, come out of her. Well, she was a fortune-telling girl. She had some kind of power. She had a demonic power. And boy, the men who owned her were not happy. And so they arrested Paul, and they beat Paul and Silas with rods. They threw them in prison. Now, you remember Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail? That's the story in Acts where they were at midnight, they were singing hymns. I will raise a hallelujah. I don't know if that was a song, but anyway, it sounds like it could have been. But anyway, they were singing at midnight in the Philippian jail. And the Bible says an earthquake came. And all of a sudden, they were free. They were unshackled. And the jailer, who was charged with keeping them, the jailer, he knew that if they got loose, that he would be killed. And so he was about to take his own life. And Paul said, don't hurt yourself. We're all here. Well, that probably freaked him out even more. They were freed up. The doors were open. They could have left, and they didn't. They were having a worship service, evidently. And so he said, we're all here. And that was the man who said to the Apostle Paul, he said, when he realized what had happened, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And then he said this, you and your household. Household salvation comes many times when the leader of a home gives his life to Jesus Christ, and it trickles down and makes a difference into the lives of the other family members. I tell you what, men, don't ever estimate the commitment that you have to Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would all have that kind of commitment, that moms and dads would, because it impacts the children. Anyway, so that jailer came to know the Lord. He says in verse 15, you shared, in verse 15, it says, at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared. Well, koinonia is a two-way relationship in partnership going in the same direction. And he describes that as a two-way relationship. It's like a two-way street, giving and receiving. But he says to those in Philippi, only you were involved in giving and receiving. Look at verse 15 at the end. When I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving. And so therefore, giving goes with receiving. Philippi did it right. They had received and they should give. You know, the natural, normal result of someone whose life has been changed is that you become a generous and giving person. You remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as a Savior passed his way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for you're going to my house today. For you're going to my house today. Well, y'all didn't even sing with me on that. Anyway, all right. When Zacchaeus came to the Lord, he was a tax collector. He was a hated man. Do you know the Bible says that when Zacchaeus came to the Lord, he said, anyone I have wronged, I will give double. He said, I'll give half of what I have to the poor. Then he said, if I took something wrongly from someone else, I will restore it fourfold. Can I tell you this? Giving is a result of receiving. Received much, give much. Receive little. Sometimes people, they don't want to give. Giving is a function of receiving. And Paul says this to the church in Philippi. He said, y'all were that way. You had received the gospel, and therefore you were willing to give. Now, here's the part I wanted to get to, number three. Giving brings blessings. In verse 17, it says this, not that I seek the gift. Paul wanted to make sure that they knew he was not just after them for their money. Can I tell you this? God doesn't need our money. When we give a gift in the offering plate, or maybe you give online, we have more and more folks that it just makes it so easy for them. It helps them organize it. They give online. I'm so thankful that we have that ability. Some people give by having a recurring thing in their bill pay. But we still have an offering in here every Sunday. Whenever you give your tithe, that's a reminder that God owns it all. It's a reminder that God owns it all. And the scripture says there in verse 17, not that I seek the gift. Somebody said this, tithing is not God's way of raising money. Tithing is God's way of raising his children. It's part of our growing up. It's part of our discipleship. It's part of our growth process. And so he says, I didn't seek the gift. But he said, I will say this, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Now he's using all kinds of financial terms here. I want you to see that. He's using the word abounds and account. He uses the word abound again. He talks about fruit in verse 17. When he says the phrase abounds to your account, it means the blessings that are yours because you give. Oh, you do know. What's that? Yeah. Back in the back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You receive blessings when you give. Now, it may not always be money, but it will be blessings abounded out of the riches in glory that are in Christ Jesus. So he says, those are blessings that are yours because you give. He says in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Folks, listen, if you're a believer in Christ, you've got to deal with the giving issue. You've got to deal with the stewardship of your time, the stewardship of your talents, and the stewardship of your treasure, your money. Because when the Lord gets a hold of your billfold, he gets a hold of you. When I was growing up, our pastor, used to, and this is very simple, but I hold on to simple things sometimes, and this really has made a difference. He used to say this. He said 2 + 2 in the regular economy, 2 + 2 = 4. But he said in God's economy, 2 + 2 + God can equal anything God wants it to equal. You know, the book of Matthew says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So when you give, Paul says when they gave, it was like a sweet-smelling aroma in verse 18, an acceptable sacrifice. The sweet-smelling aroma draws us to the Old Testament sacrifice. When they would have a sacrifice, the Bible says it was like a sweet smell to the God of the universe. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 12, it says we are to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. There's that word, acceptable unto God. And so he's talking about that gift was a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So I want you to know this, giving can be spiritual. It is spiritual. So as God prompts you to give, and as no matter where you are in your giving journey, as you take further steps to obey the Lord in giving, it will bring joy. And let me tell you what, this scripture teaches that giving brings blessings. It really does. Now, Philippi led the way. He said, no other church, only you. They led the way because, number one, it was sacrificial what they did. It was motivated by Christ. And number three, it was used to spread the gospel. They would receive God's provision. God blesses those who give to him. Now, I want you to notice this amazing verse in verse 19. Paul is saying to them, you have given me this gift. And now he's telling them something about his God. Paul says, my God, and he's telling them about what he's going to do for them. He says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, notice he didn't say, and my God shall supply all your need out of his riches. I want you to imagine that if someone had riches of $1 million, they gave you $100. Well, that'd just be giving you $100 of a million. But in this passage, it says he will give you his riches according to his riches. It's based upon the riches of God, which are infinite. So you're not receiving blessings just out of the riches of God's heaven, you're receiving it according to his riches. One scholar said it this way, and I think this is the best way to take that. When it says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, the according means suited to you. Now look at me for a second. That means this, when you're faithful and obedient to the Lord in your generosity and your giving, that God will bless you in a way that is suited for you. Now, it may not be, it's not necessarily going to be money. These preachers that say, give us money here and God will return money to you tenfold, I don't believe the Bible teaches that can. Now, it could happen, but it doesn't mean that it will happen every time. But I tell you what it does say. The scripture says you cannot outgive God. The scripture says that when you bring the tithe to the Lord, he says, see if God will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, you don't have room enough to receive it. I know this. I don't necessarily know of any monetary gift that I have received just because I have been a tither. Kelly was raised to give and to be generous, and I learned it after I got saved. My pastor said 2 + 2 + God equals anything God wants it to be. So even when it was tough and we had jobs in Fort Worth, we were in seminary, and Kelly was working full-time at a Christian magazine. I was working part-time. We were paying bills. This church was helping us. We hardly had two nickels to rub together. One time Kelly's sister came to our house in Fort Worth to visit us, and we caught her in the other room on the phone talking to her mom and dad, talking to Kelly's parents, and she was whispering. And I said, Kelly, somebody's in there. Terry's in there talking to mom and dad, but it's so quiet, I can't tell what she's saying. And we put our ear up to the door, and Terry said, Mom and Dad, send money. There's no food. Hey, we thought we had food. We were fine. But anyway, the Lord blessed us. I don't know necessarily of anything I could point to and say, you know, I gave a gift and God gave me money. But can I tell you something in all honesty? As transparent as I know to be with you, God has overwhelmed me with blessings suited for me. And Paul says to these people in Philippi, when you give, God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, suited for you. Young people, I want to tell you something. When you give your life to Jesus, you give all your life to him. You sell out to him, lock, stock, and barrel. That means Jesus has all of you. You commit everything about your life, your future. You give him the money that you make. If you have a part-time job, you say, Lord, all this money is yours. I want to honor you with it. Show me what I'm supposed to do as you tithe and as you give offerings. I promise you the Lord will take care of you. That is a promise from God's word. And then look at the last thing. The fourth thing is God's glory is the goal. God's glory is the goal. In verse 20 it says, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. It's almost like after talking about the gift, the joy that was brought to him in this gift, it was like Paul just summed it all up. He said, look, with everything I've said to you in this letter, I just want you to know that God receives the glory forever and ever. The scripture says very clearly, the one who gives freely grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Can I tell you this? You have all that you need in Jesus. The Lord has made you a promise. And young people, I want to tell you this. But seek ye first. We used to have a ministry years ago called First Priority. Some of y'all may have heard of that. First Priority. What is your first priority? Young people, if you say, Jesus Christ is my first priority, based on Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That means he's going to take care of you according to what is suited for you out of his riches in glory. Can I tell you this? When you get Jesus, you get everything you need. I heard the story of a man who had a veteran son. And this son was fighting in battle, and in a foxhole, he had a buddy of his there, and the buddy could sketch with pencil. And so the buddy in the foxhole saw his friend there, and he just sketched him, and it was a portrait, a pencil portrait of this man's son. And the son sent it to his dad, and his dad cherished it. His dad was a collector of art, and his dad really loved that pencil portrait of his son, so he put it in the most prominent place in his house. Well, the son ended up being killed in battle, and that made him cherish the picture even more. When the man died, there was to be an auction for all of his artwork, and so, boy, all the art collectors in that town, boy, they wanted to be there. So they came to the auction, and man, there were paintings there that they all wanted. The auctioneer got up that day and said, now we're going to begin the auction with this pencil portrait of this man's son. And some guy in the back said, we don't want the son, we want to get to these other ones. Why do you have to start with that one? Go with one of the other ones. He said, well, we're going to start with the pencil portrait of the son. He said, do I hear $15? Nobody said anything. Finally, a guy in the back said, okay, just to get to the ones that are really worth something, that we really want, I'll give you $15. And so nobody else said anything. And the guy said, okay, going, gone. Sold to the man for $15, the portrait of the son. He gets the son. And then the auctioneer hit his gavel again and said, the auction is closed. Everybody said, what? We've been here waiting for all these other portraits. What are you talking about? We want that one. We want that one. We want that one. And then the auctioneer said this, it was in the instructions of the Father that he that gets the Son gets it all. You can spend all your life, young people, chasing all the other pictures. And I tell you, this world glitters them up. This is what you need to be happy. This is what you need to be happy. Get the Son, and you're going to be okay. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He that gets the Son gets it all. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.